I love this Sunday and the year, because on the first Sunday of like the new church year, which most of us think is the new church year, it's about like New Year's Day. For many of us, there's a sense of expectancy of what God is going to do this year. There's a sense of expectancy of what we can do in church this year. You have a lot of stuff going on here in church. You have a new building program. You have new plans. And Norman was sharing stuff this morning about new ideas for reaching out and for bringing people in. And all this is really exciting because there's that sense of anticipation within our hearts that God is alive, that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive, that God is working, and that God is doing things in people's lives. And I just think that it's a great thing for you and I to be part of that whole scheme of things and God's plan, because God has a plan for every single individual in this room. There's not one of us who are exempt from God's plan. And I want to share a few verses from a portion of Scripture tonight. Whenever I come here, I read out of this Bible here, but I have my own Bible up in case God speaks to me, because I would know where to find it in there. But I want to read a bit from John 20. Not that God couldn't speak to me through this, by the way. I'm not being offensive there. I want you to know that I'm reading from this anyway. John 20 and verse 24. We're going to be starting off looking at Thomas, and starting off looking at what happened in Thomas's life and how Thomas's life was nearly dictated to by his seemingly mistake at not being able to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hands and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may also have life in his name. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for your love and for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for dying on Calvary's cross and shedding your precious blood for sinners like us. We thank you, Lord, tonight for the songs that we have been singing about the resurrected Christ, about resurrection life, about that hope that we have in you, and that hope that we have, Lord, for those of us who are your children, for those of us who are part of the family of God. Lord, we have a tremendous future tonight. And I just pray, Lord, as we, Lord, come to your word for these few minutes in this meeting, Lord, that you will open up our hearts, Lord, that you will help us to hear, that you will give us lips, Lord, that will speak your truth, and ears, Lord, that will hear what your Holy Spirit is saying. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, one of the things that many people are good at is judging other people. And I'm sure that many of us from time to time have judged somebody else by how they appear, how they look. I was actually watching a television program this week where a young lawyer was defending a man who was all tattoos around his face and all. And before they went to the court, he was putting makeup on to try and hide these tattoos so people wouldn't judge the boy as they saw him. And it's so easy for us to do that. I remember one night in the streets, there's a young boy in Ballymena, and he's tattooed around the face. And he stood, he's a lovely young guy, lovely fella. And he stood and he said, look, Wallace, he says, I'd love to go to church. He says, I would love to go into church. But can you imagine, he says, if I walked into church and people saw me like this, can you imagine the reaction I would get? And sadly, there's an element of truth in that. Sadly, we would sometimes take a look at somebody and we would judge them, and we would judge who they are or what they are like by how they looked. And, you know, we can't do that. We so easily think we can do that, but we can't do that. We can become experts at judging people by the mistakes that they've maybe made in their lives. And you know, the reality is that none of us are without mistake. None of us are without failure. None of us are perfect in this room. You may think you're perfect, but the reality is you're not. And don't get annoyed at me that it's in this version of the Bible here. But the Bible characters are exactly the same. You know, if somebody talks about Moses, we think about Moses delivering the people from the hands of the Egyptians, but Moses committed a murder, and people are very quick to remind you of that. We think about Jacob, and Jacob stole his brother's birthright. We think about David, and the story that always comes to mind whenever you mention David or you talk about David is David and Bathsheba and the murder that subsequently followed that. All these things are etched in our minds, and I was thinking even here this morning, we were talking, I was listening to the Sunday school talk this morning, and I was thinking to myself about whenever a few years back when I was at Sunday school, and that I was learning about Thomas, and nobody ever presented Thomas to you. They always presented who? Doubting Thomas. Thomas doubted over 2,000 years ago, and he's paying the consequences of it yet. He's still suffering from that problem. He's doubting Thomas. And that's what I want to try and share, one or two things connected with that with you tonight. You know, Thomas wasn't who he may have appeared. Thomas wasn't in the same position as some of the rest of the disciples. First of all, as far as we know, that the only person that Thomas ever seen raised from the dead was Lazarus. He wasn't there when the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. So I suppose it shouldn't come as any surprise to us that Thomas doubted whenever he had heard that Jesus was raised from the dead. Thomas, he just wasn't there. He hadn't seen that miracle. His memory of the Lord Jesus Christ was dying on a cross in Calvary. His memory of the Lord Jesus Christ was being beaten, and being spat upon, and being made to carry a cross, and hanging on that cross to die for sinners like you and I. That's his memory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his last recollection, and he had no reason to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, unless he had remembered the words that Jesus had spoken, which many of the disciples, in fact, like Thomas, were guilty of forgetting. Because Jesus told the disciples that he would rise again on the third day. Jesus told his disciples, yes, I'm going to be put to death. Yes, I'm going to be put on a cross. But you see, on the third day, I am going to rise again. I am going to stand up. I'm going to walk out of this tomb, and I am going to rise again, because the grave can't hold me. The grave can't keep me in there. I will rise again, and I will present myself to you and to other people. I will rise again. And this was a truth that Jesus Christ had spoken to his disciples, and they had forgotten about the promises of God. And let me just stop there and remind ourselves that we need to remind ourselves about the promises of God. I was talking to a brother just on Friday, and I was sharing a wee situation, a wee problem, and he just looks at me and he says, you know, didn't God do something for you in that area before? And I'm feeling slapped. You know, I'm feeling as if, that's right, God had done something for me in that area before, so why should I doubt that God can do it now? God's promises are God's promises. God's word is truth, and we need to learn to recognize that. You know, Thomas had Thomas had a problem, a wee bit of a problem with negativity. Whenever he'd heard Lazarus had died, he wanted, his words were, let's go down and die with him. He was a negative type of person. And sadly, we live in a society where there are many negative people. Sadly, within the body of Christ, there are many negative people. And I remember once, I get very excited if somebody gets saved, right? If you came to me and told me somebody gets saved, I would be over the moon. I just get excited about that. I love to see people getting saved. Love to hear about people getting saved. And I remember one time I was talking to a brother and he said to me, he says, how's things? Well, I learned at this point you need to be careful how you explain how things are, because some people don't really want to know how things are. They want things to be as bad in your life as they are in their life, right? Do you know that type of person? How's things, Wallace? Or it's usually, how's things, Wallace? Right? Oh, woe betide me. How's things, Wallace? Well, I tell you how things are. We had a great week. God was moving this week. This man got saved. This man gave his life to Jesus Christ. God was really blessing. God was just moving in people's lives, and there was an excitement within the body, and we were out in the streets on Friday night, and we were doing this, that, and that thing, and God was moving. It was powerful. And that was exactly the reaction I got. And then, to put the cream on it, oh, you need to be careful. Right? So now I'm wondering why I need to be careful here. You need to be careful because you know something, when God's blessing like that, the devil's out to get you. And I'm thinking, like, God forgive you. Do you know something? And this is no word of a lie. No, the other story was a word of a lie, but this is no word of a lie. A woman told, this is as true as I'm standing here. A woman said to me, I don't get involved in too many things to do with the moving of God because I'm happy enough and I'm content enough. The devil's not bothering me. God forgive her. If the devil's not bothering you, you've got a problem. If the devil's not bothering you, there's an issue in your life that you need to deal with, because the devil should be bothering you. The devil should be chasing you because you should be an effective person for the kingdom of God. You should get excited when somebody gets saved. Get you excited. The Bible tells us there's rejoicing in heaven. Somebody gets saved. Trevor, so-and-so gets saved. Is that right? No, I'm not picking on you. I know Trevor well enough to say that. Is that right? Saved, aye, there you go. You know, like... Like, what's wrong with people? Why do they not get excited when a soul has been snatched from hell and brought into the kingdom of God? If that wouldn't excite you, folks, nothing would excite you. So that was that man's attitude, and I'll never forget that. And people sometimes just try to pull you down. People just try to be so negative in your life. I love hanging about with new Christians. New Christians don't know how to be negative, right? They're just on fire for God. I love hanging about with young people. Rachel's brilliant. Listen, may I tell you, I don't really know Rachel that well. All in the fact, everywhere you go, she's there, right? She is brilliant. So she is. She's on fire for God. Like many of you young people here, on fire for God. Do you know something? You never want to quench that fire. You want to encourage that. You want to feed that. You want to stoke that. You want to encourage that. You want to build them up and throw sticks and coal and everything onto that to keep that fire burning. Never, never put them down. You know, sometimes people say, oh, that's a good fellow there, but he's just a bit wild. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? Just a bit wild. God forgive us. Would be to God there was more wild people in church who were on fire for the kingdom of God and who were on fire for the things of God. I'd probably not be asked back here, but I'm sure a lot of them up here now. God takes ordinary people and he does extraordinary things in ordinary people's lives. I was sharing, it may have been at Hope House on Thursday night, I was sharing about a young man who three years ago, this guy's in prison, rough fella, comes from south of Ireland. 3 years ago, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And you know another thing I hate, just while we're on a roll here, another thing I hate is this boy is in jail and he gets saved. Well, we'll see how long he goes on for. I hate that. I hate that. We'll see how long he goes on for. What chance does anybody have if we have an attitude like that? I'll see how long he goes on for. That fella got saved over 3 years ago. 3 years passed in May this year at a mission, the day before the mission started in the prison. Every year he comes to the prison and he brings guy out to the mission and he brings all our boys with him. 3 years down the line. And I remember sitting looking at that fella and thinking to myself, being honest with you, you know, Lord, you have your work cut out with him. I remember thinking that. He was in such a bad way in his life. I remember saying, Lord, you have your work cut out with that. And just right away, the Holy Spirit said, I had my work cut out with you too. And that's the truth. That's the truth. God has his work cut out with all of us. But you know the great thing about it is that God is able to take us and he's able to break us and he's able to mold us and he is able to make us and he is able to change us and he is able to make us new creatures in Christ. He's able to take the old things that pass away and all things that will become new. And sometimes we have to learn this whole process of forgiveness. We accept Christ's forgiveness, but sometimes we have trouble forgiving ourselves. And can I just say to you tonight, maybe you're in here, and maybe you are struggling in your faith. Maybe things has happened in your life, and you're struggling to forgive yourself. Can I tell you something? You need to fight through that. You need to break through that. Because until you forgive yourself, you're never going to really know the riches of God's forgiveness. Be loved by God. Allow yourself to be loved by God. Allow yourself to be hugged by God. I have this image of a God who sometimes, if we're broken or we're hurting, you have this image of a Father God who just sometimes comes and just lifts you up, and he just gives you a hug. Just gives you a great big hug, simply because he loves you. He's your Father. He's Father God. You see, whenever we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we enter into a whole new realm of expectancy. God's love, you might not know Christ tonight as your Savior, but God's love is without condition. God loves you just the way you are. That forgiveness that he offers to us tonight is free. It's absolutely free. The Old Testament were taught that people had to bring their sacrifice to the altar and to ask for forgiveness of the sins. The sacrifice that they brought to the altar had to be pure, and it had to be spotless, and it had to be without blemish. It had to be totally and absolutely pure. They couldn't, for example, bring a lamb with a busted leg, or they couldn't bring fruit that was past its sell-by date. It had to be absolutely perfect, and they had to bring the very best in order to get forgiveness of their sins. And whenever they would come into the temple officials would be standing at the door and they would be inspecting the sacrifice that would be brought in so that they would see there was no impurities in it. But there's something very important I want you to notice here. And this is extremely important. If you or I was to bring our sacrifice to the temple, the guys at the door, the priests at the door, they inspected the sacrifice. They inspected the wee lamb. They inspected the wee bird. They inspected the sacrifice. But they didn't inspect the person that was bringing the sacrifice in. They didn't look to see if that person was clean. They didn't look to see if that person was well-dressed. They didn't look to see if that person was tattooed from head to toe. They didn't look to see if that person was respectable and able to come into the temple. They only were interested in the sacrifice. And when the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross and rose again from the tomb, he became our true sacrifice. He was without spot and without blemish. And whenever he hung on that cross, he hung on that cross as a perfect man. He saw our sins. He saw our spots and our blemishes. He saw the garbage that we had in our lives. He took every one of those things and he offers us this gift of salvation, not because of what we have done or who we are, but because of who he is and because of what he has done. You see, we come to Christ as hell-deserving sinners. Jesus didn't look to see if we're perfect. He didn't look to see if we were well-dressed. He didn't look to see if we were without spot and blemish. He just took us as we are. If you're saved tonight, he took you as you are. You were loved by him just the way you were. My word, what a wonderful Savior tonight. One of the problems that so many people struggle with, and I'm speaking to people who know Christ tonight and people who don't know Christ tonight. One of the things that so many people struggle with is their past life, as who we were, as what do people think of me or you as a person. I worked on an algorithm for many years, and I had many issues in my life over my life as a Christian over the years, and failed God on many occasions. But one day I was in the shop. And I told this story on Thursday night, I think I told it. One day I was in the shop, and this man came in, well-dressed guy, Christian man, knew him to be a Christian. And he came up and says, "Can I speak to you?" I says, "Yes." He says, "I just want to tell you something." He says, "You'll never be any good for God. You shouldn't be doing what you're doing. How could you expect God to use you? How could God even love you?" And you know something? I wanted to slap him. That's what I wanted to do. But as a Christian, you need to think about that, you know. But he really, really annoyed me. He upset me to the point where I wasn't even angry. I was broken. It broke me. It totally broke me. And it was late on in the afternoon, I'm glad it was, and I just broke, and I was going home that night, and I cried the whole way out to Clough. We were living in Clough at the time. And up, and whenever I'm upset or struggling with stuff, I would lift the guitar and just strum guitar and sing. And sometimes God gives me songs and things like that there. But God gave me a song on that day. That was probably one of the hardest days of my life. But God gave me a song about his grace and his love and his mercy. And God reminded me of something. That sometimes in life you screw up. Sometimes in life you'll make mistakes. All of you. Every one of you. Sometimes things will happen that cause you to feel God. And then what happens is when you feel God, the devil tramples on you for feeling God. He gets you down and then he tramples on you for being down. And your mind begins to work something like this. I will never be any good for God. I have failed in my life. I have let God down. I would be better standing to the side, How could God ever love me? And then you come to a point where you realize that God's love is unconditional. That God's love reaches out to every single person. That God takes the brokenhearted and he sets the captive free. That God doesn't fix you. God doesn't fix you. Do you see, if you think you need fixed tonight, I'll tell you, God doesn't fix you. God will make you new. God doesn't put a patch on the problem. He doesn't cover up the problem. He takes you and he makes you new. And tonight I can stand here and I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you more than you will ever, ever, or could ever imagine. He loves you more than anything. We recently had a wee granddaughter, Evie, you call her. And you know something? I had forgotten what it was like to truly love and the way I love Evie. You just, whenever she comes into a room, you don't even put the TV on, you know. You just sit and look at her, you know. And you feel really stupid sitting looking at her because she's sitting there looking back at you. But you know, and you just love her. You just love them. But even that love has no comparison to the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for you or for me tonight. So maybe you're struggling with your identity. Maybe you're allowing your past to determine your future. You see, like Norm was talking about this morning, and it was a great word this morning about can't remember what it was about, Norm. Great word this morning about the temptations, about Jesus suffering temptation and the doubt if you're the Son of God. He said it in the Garden of Eden to Eve, if. He said it in the temptations, if. And he said it on the cross, if. And he says it to us, look at you. Sure you're no good. Sure you're a failure. Sure what use would you be to anybody? Do you know something? I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ take the dirtiest, rottenest, most stinking lives and turn them right round and make them new because he loves us. And if you don't know Jesus tonight, don't you allow the devil to rob you of what will be a great life for you. Don't you listen to the lies of the devil telling you that you're a failure and that you're no good. I have very few brains, right? I have no exams at school. I was stupid at school. I hate at school. Not many young people in here. I hate at school, right? Hated it. Didn't like it. Didn't go half time. Stupid at school and ended up more stupid whenever I left it because I never learned anything at school. I'll tell you a wee story before I finish. I was serving my time as an electrician in Gallagher's, and there was a boy, I was working under this boy. This is how stupid I was, working under this boy, and he says to me, can you go and get me a die? No, can you go and get me a tap? I'm thinking we're bending a bit of conjugate here, but why aren't it what you want a tap for? I had no idea what a tap was. Many of you know what I'm talking about here. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Right, I'll explain it as I go along. Go and get me a tap. Elijah Studd. And this was a wee baldy guy, glasses thick, right? Go and get me a tap. I says, Jake, I don't know what a tap is. You mean a tap? You mean smart? I says, no. I says, I don't know what a tap is. He says, what's the opposite of a tap? I says, bottom. And he slapped me. Go down to that workshop and get me a tap. A tap is a thing you thread the inside of a pipe with, is that right? the outside of the pipe. You thread a pipe with it anyway. I had no idea. And I learned I still had no brains. But you know, God loved me the way I am, and the same as he loves you the way you are. His love is unconditional. The devil will fill your head with every excuse tonight as to why you shouldn't be part of the family of God. This is a new church year. Great opportunities in here to serve God. What a way to start off a church year, by giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You please. Father, we just come to you tonight with praise and adoration, Lord. Thank you tonight for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, tonight for being the Savior that we truly need. Thank you for the privilege of being able to say yes to Jesus. And I pray tonight, Father, in the closing moments of this meeting, that your Holy Spirit would move just in this room. Lord, you know every person in here. You know every single thought that we have. You know our heartaches and our hurts. You know the issues that we struggle with. You know, Lord, who's struggling tonight, even being presented with the gospel. And Lord, I just pray that just now you will still us, that your Holy Spirit will begin to speak. I pray, Father, for those that don't know you as Savior. I pray, Lord, that before they leave this place tonight, that they will be drawn to you. God, there will be rejoicing in heaven tonight, and that there will be rejoicing in here because somebody has given their life to Jesus. I pray for those, Lord, who have allowed their past to determine their future. I speak against that tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord, to realize that our future is not in our hands, but Lord, as we commit our lives to you, that our future is in your hands, that you are in control. Help us, Lord, not to be afraid to step into the plans and purposes that you have for our lives. Lord, we want to tell you we love you. Those of us that are saved tonight, Lord, we love you. And Lord, I just ask these things in Jesus' name. At the end of the meeting, there's prayer team at the front of the church. Listen, if you don't know Jesus or you're struggling with some issue, come up and get prayer. You've heard me say this before. I believe that whenever we come into the presence of God, something good's bound to happen. Bound to happen. Don't be frightened. Don't leave carrying what you're carrying when you come in. Leave it at the foot of the old rugged cross.